President Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 23rd on the West Coast, now May the 24th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and I guess I should congratulate everybody for staying on the planet. Nothing happened on the 21st, nor on the 22nd. Wouldn't you know? So I have to do another week of radio because of that. So, oh, what do we talk about? It's kind of crazy. I think rather than go into the spin and the propaganda of the mainstream media, before we bring tonight's guest on, Dr. H. Ruant, I'm going to go into a little bit of out-of-the-box music, a song I picked before I even knew what the topic was going to be tonight. This is Sting.
Fisherman's yard, a bloodless moon where the oceans die. The shoulder night stars hang fire in the nets, in the chaos of cages where the crayfish lie. Where is the fisherman? Where is the boat? Where is the keeper in his carrying coat? Eclipse on the moon when the dark bird flies.
These are the soul cages. inside of a ship where the iceberg breaks. One last soul in a soul cages. One last curse on the fisherman's lips. These are the soul cages. These are the soul
The Soul Cages. That was Sting from his album, The Soul Cages. What do you think he was talking about there? Talking about putting crabs in the cages, or was that symbolic for the sheeple or the people? I'm reminded of this world-ending event, the rapture and the destruction of the planet that was supposed to occur this past weekend, and I found it interesting that American Movie Classics was playing Day the World Ended on the 21st. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're going to talk about these strange coincidences with tonight's guest. He hosts his own show on the Micro Effect Network, The Story Behind the Story, and he's a frequent guest here on Evident Footprints, Naturopath, and a PhD as well, my good friend, Dr. A. Truat. True, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening, Don. What a story we've got brewing and breaking tonight. I tell you, this is just flat-out phenomenal information. So, yes, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you tonight. Thanks for having me.
Well, my pleasure. First, your thoughts on Harry Camping. I know you talked about this on your show. The Reverend Harry Camping.
Well, yeah, we don't need to focus on that. I really think it's a psy operation, psychological operation, psyops, no doubt about it. There's a lot of money going around with this guy. You know, he published his book calling, you know, where he predicted the end would come in, I believe, in 1994. It didn't happen. He revised it all. But the point is, he's 89 years old. He's psychotic. And much, you know, if you listen to what he says on his broadcast, he's absolutely a false prophet. It's all about me, 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 I. You know, it's my research, yada, yada. You know, it's in aggrandizing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first clue that it's, you know, it's all about money making. But yet, that doesn't answer the question of how, you know, how he was able to fund those thousands of billboards, the thousands of advertisements and media. I mean, this is clearly a multi-million dollar ad campaign. For what? For just, you know, again, it's a psychological operation to get people conditioned. to think the world's coming to an end, the apocalypse. Now, what has happened over the weekend? Last night, Don, watching, just happened to watch Blip on Fox News, and then we watched our, I think it was ABC, CBS, I don't care what it is, but they all had this blip on the CDC website about a warning about a zombie apocalypse. Now, the way Fox, you know, spun it, the way the mainstream media, at least here in Utah, did, they just thought it was just a big ha-ha, funny little joke by the CDC. Don, this is not a joke. This is deadly serious business. And I'm telling you, it's got me sobered and stunned tonight. I'll tell you.
Well, I'll let you describe this. My imagination would run wild imagining what a zombie apocalypse might be like, or what causes it.
Well, first of all, let's just look at the CDC's website. Actually, if you want to go to my website, www.atruat.com, you see the whole thing plus my commentary. And I wouldn't have thought so much about it, except I had just received Friday, Don, this incredibly stunning and well-written book, this manual, if you will, by a man named Robert Duncan. The book is called Project Soul Catcher. Project Soul Catcher, Volume 2, Secrets of Cyber and Cybernetic Warfare Revealed. Now, we all know that, well, most people know that when you have a malware, a worm or whatever, go onto your computer, that it doesn't really anymore shut it down. But this is what he explains here in the first chapter. It turns the infected computer, what is called a zombie computer, people from whoever, from whatever can actually control that computer, shut it off at times and access all the information that has gone on that computer. Okay, it's called a malware structure, and he actually shows the software, the program of it on his software included with this book. It's no joke. This is what, you know, this guy has actually done this and worked on this malware from the NSA, the DOD, and the CIA to actually track other computers and turn them into zombie computers. But the whole point of the book and Project Soul Catcher is that there is a combination of microchips, extra low frequency radio waves that combine with a new designer virus that turns people into zombies. It's unbelievable what there's a whole chapter on this. It's called Social Scalable Enslavement and Zombification Strategies. It is absolutely sobering, stunning. Because this is well documented with footnotes, and I mean, it's very, very, very credible. Let me just share with you, with our listeners, one paragraph. Okay,
sure. Sure.
So the U.S. Army called their projects Zombie one through five. When zombifying human beings. Their research involved creating remote-controlled soldiers who would blindly follow instructions like zombies without questioning the morality and ethics of what they do. Now, he cross-references all these zombie projects, Roman numeral 1 through 5. Now, this correlates to Navy intelligence, and Navy intelligence was involved with the Air Force as well as the CIA. So we see a link here to the Navy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the 80s, 90s, and just recently he says it was called bioamplification, mind control, also called psychotronics. Now, he says there's a specific program. It's again codenamed Project Soul Catcher. to basically at some point in time release these tens of thousands of CIA, DOD sleeper agents, these sleeper zombies, in an attack on America with a release of this virus, this zombie virus.
Now, so what does the CDC have to do with this?
Well, here's where I'm getting at. My goodness, when you see the link, okay. First of all, now we set the stage. Let me share with you what the CDC posted on May 16th, 2011, by the assistant director of the CDC himself, Ali S. Khan. As in the Wrath of Khan in Star Trek, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is what he writes, quote, "There are all kinds of emergencies out there that we can prepare for. Take a zombie apocalypse, for example." That's right. I said ZOMBIEAPOCALYPSE, zombie apocalypse. You may laugh now, but when it happens, you'll be happy you read this. And hey, maybe you'll even learn a thing or two about how to prepare for a real emergency. And it gives a little bit of brief history of zombies and makes it out like, you know, this is all a big ha-ha-hoo-hoo joke. Okay. But then it goes in the bottom of the his post. He says, quote, "If zombies did start roaming the streets, CDC would conduct an investigation much like any other disease outbreak. CDC would provide technical assistance to cities, states, or international partners dealing with a zombie infestation. This assistance might include consultation, lab testing and analysis, patient management and care, tracking of contacts, and infection control. It's likely that an investigation of this scenario would seek to accomplish several goals: determine the cause of the illness, the source of the infection / virus / toxin, learn how it is transmitted and how readily it is spread, how to break the cycle of transmission and thus prevent further cases, and how patients can best be treated. Not only would scientists be working to identify the cause and cure of the zombie outbreak, but CDC and other federal agencies would send medical teams and first responders to help those in affected areas." My goodness. Does that sound like a joke to you?
It sounds like they were taken over by Mad Magazine, to tell you the truth.
It does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But then we go to Wikipedia's entry on who the heck is Ali S. Khan. He is a rear admiral in the Navy, Ali S. Khan. He's director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Office of Public Health Preparedness and Response, PHPR, and a practicing physician. Received his MD from Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, New York, and went to the University of Michigan for his internship. Now, here's his curriculum vitae. Dr. Khan's federal career began in 1991 when he joined CDC and the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps as, get this, an Epidemic Intelligence Service EIS officer. So he's a rear admiral. He is the Epidemic Intelligence Service officer, EIS officer, for Navy intelligence. Khan has focused his career on bioterrorism, global health, and emerging infectious diseases. While serving as the interim director for CDC's global infectious disease activities, he designed CDC's Joint Global Field Epidemiology and Laboratory Training Program. Dr. Khan designed and implemented the President's Malaria Initiative, a $1.2 billion 5-year project to reduce the burden of malaria and poverty in Africa. If you remember correctly, that's the malaria vaccines that he went out and put into the mosquitoes. Mosquitoes became the carriers of the vaccine, for heaven's sakes.
Hmm.
Okay. Khan's work, initial work in emergency preparedness, started in 1999. That's a key year when he established CDC's bioterrorism program. This is before 2001. It's September 11th. So he established CDC's bioterrorism program, which upgraded local, state, and national public health systems to detect and rapidly respond to bioterrorism. As deputy director of the bioterrorism program, Khan created the critical agent list, which has remained the basis for all biological terrorism preparedness. Dr. Khan also published the first national public health preparedness plan, initiated syndrome-based surveillance, and designed key focus areas to improve local and state capacities to respond to emergencies. Khan used these preparedness efforts first during the anthrax attack in 2001, which he directed the CDC's operational response in Washington, D.C. Wow. Prior to becoming director of PHPR in August of 2010, Dr. Khan served as deputy director of CDC's National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases. He has responded to and led numerous domestic and international public health emergencies, including the hantavirus syndrome, Ebola, hemorrhagic fever, monkeypox, Rift Valley fever, avian influenza, SARS, severe acute respiratory syndrome, and the Asian tsunami. He was the initial public health leader in response to the Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans. And get this, last sentence in the Wikipedia entry. In May 2011, he made public the CDC's recommendations for preparing for a zombie apocalypse. Whoa.
What are these goodness. People, what are they smoking or drinking or swallowing?
It's very serious business. It's not funny. Especially when you look at, again, this book, Project Soulcatcher. And then you go to Googled up zombie virus. And there's a website called zombiehub.com. And it's an entry, zombie viruses. There's absolutely credible links on this website to this bioengineered virus. It's kind of a fuse between the rabies virus in dogs, but this is a mononega viral. It's got all of the links to this thing. This is produced by a whistleblower, Don. This is incredible and shows what it happens if this is put out in humans. This is like what's that movie that was there with the humans go into
Soylent Green.
Well, it's with Will Smith. What's it called? Golly. Anyway.
Yeah, he's made a bunch of different movies.
Yeah, it's just where he fights these humans that are hiding away because they're going to come out in the dark. This virus is real. I mean, they have this available. The pictures are flat out amazing. He said the virus creates an extreme behavior change which could drive a person mad. One might even desire to attack others on sight. This would benefit the virus by allowing it to spread through a bite from the infected organized to the victim. It's understandable that because they don't have control of their desires and motives, the infected would lose their gift of free will. In other words, they become a form of zombification. These viruses have the devastating ability to spread very rapidly and easily cause a human epidemic. Okay? This is, the symptoms are very, similar to the rabies virus disease. There'd be, you know, just a loss, you know, a lot of salivating, a lot of, you know, swelling and inflammation of the brain. This is, and guess what? This is from the website Adam, and it, and it's in conjunction with the Centers for Disease Control. Are you freaking kidding me?
I can't understand the reasoning other than they've all just gone mad. They're suffering from the virus, evidently.
The timing of this, Don, again, why would the CDC come out with this on basically this weekend? The Sunday, the 22nd is when it, I mean, this was in the Wall Street Journal today. There's a big write-up in the Wall Street Journal about this, for heaven's sakes.
Well, what does the Wall Street Journal have to say about it?
They just basically commented about, you know, they were wondering why the CDC would even put something like this out. Again, it's the most of the mainstream media is taking this as some kind of media ploy joke. It is no joke. It is deadly serious. Deadly serious.
Well, it's been a couple of months since they had another series on TV called The Walking Dead. And it was a bunch of zombies that were digging themselves out of the ground and going after humans that were alive. And particularly interested in acquiring brain tissue. And they were asked, why brains? Why do you need brains? And they said it makes the pain go away.
Well, that's what else it's saying here in the CDC's website. It says the zombies will will want to eat your brains. I mean, this is
so. I mean, this is the same thing they had as the script for this TV series.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Here's the point I made on my post on my website, Don. Either this is some kind of a sick joke, and if it is a sick joke, and they're just trying to raise awareness to get people to get emergency preparedness, you know, hey, it's not funny. This is a government agency that has no business spoofing these things out. That's the first point. You know, if they make it out to be a joke, somebody should lose their job over this. As a taxpayer, this really ticks me off both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's that at all. I don't think it's a joke at all. It's absolutely serious business. There are zombie lab viruses. It's clear and obvious. This is a bioterrorist weapon that Navy intelligence and rear admirals like Mr. Khan would surely know all about.
So
holy mackerel.
They're planning on infecting their agents with this and then sending them out on cue?
I think that's exactly what they could be planning to do. And, of course, they would always give some tongue-in-cheek warning. To have this come over the desk and the blog of a controlled government agency like the Centers for Disease Creation, holy cow. Don, this is to me, just stunning. It's very sobering.
They just don't give up, do they? What do I say? Really? I mean, what do you say? This is as insane as everything else they're doing.
Well, a zombie, by definition, is a person that has basically lost his soul. The soul has been, you know, given up, and it's just a walking dead. Well, this whole book, Don, is just an amazing read, Project Soulcatcher. I did some digging into this code name and came across another post. This is back in, 1996 and 97. This is a series of articles that appeared in British newspapers. There is a group called the British Earth and Aerial Mystery Society, BEAMS, B-A-M-S. And they on their website, reported again this these two newspaper articles. A recent report has revealed that scientists working for British Telecom, they write, are currently developing a new microchip that will be ready for use in the year 2025. The microchip's future tech design will mean that when implanted in the skull just behind the eye, it will be able to record a person's every thought, experience, and sensation, hence its name, Soulcatcher 2025. Quote, this is the end of death, Dr. Chris Winter of British Telecom's artificial life team explained. He went on to say that the implant will enable scientists to record other people's lives and play back their experiences on a computer. Quote, by combining this information with the record of a person's genes, Dr. Winter said, we could recreate a person physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Huh.
Dr. Winter.
I find that hard to believe right there.
Yeah, Dr. Winter went on to say, quote, the implanted chip would be like an aircraft's black box and would enhance communications beyond current concepts. For example, police would be able to use it to relive an attack, rape, or murder from the victim's viewpoint to help catch the criminal. I could even play back the smells, sounds, and sights of my holiday to my friends. This is, again, 1996. Now, what's amazing about this article in 1996 is this in light of this book, Project Soulcatcher, because he outlines, you know, this fellow, Robert Duncan, is a whistleblower that actually worked on these projects, and now he's saying that the exact same technology is not 2025, it's 2010, 2011, with an, you know, to be implemented in 2012 to 2015. Now, get this. Mr. Duncan, in his book, it goes on to explain that all that's needed to make this a complete reality worldwide is a mainframe mega computer with the artificial intelligence to map and track all of these chipped brains, these zombified brains.
Now, would that be in Utah that they would, that building?
That new data collection center. Everything he described is right there coming into play with the NSA's data collection center.
Can they use that technology to locate a certificate of live birth? Do you think?
Not if he's already a zombified individual.
That's a good thought, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, speaking of that, I also posted this interview. The individual that was on the radio show, gave him a name of Al. He explains he is a debt collector. He was going following up a story of an unrelated person and came across a chain of connections to Michelle Obama, which then led him into a whole new proof of another alias of this long-legged magnate. The story is amazing. It's posted on my website. The whole 35-minute or so interview on the radio. This leads, you know, this is corroboration, Don, of everything you've been writing and saying about this cabal that's involved in money laundering and real estate fraud. It's an amazing expose. As I wrote on my blog and posted with this video, this testimony, credible enough with the documentation that he says he has, is more than enough for any grand jury to issue an indictment for, you know, racketeering and money laundering fraud with this man in the White House. Why in the world, what are we waiting for? This a citizen's grand jury is needed now to hear this and issue indictments. Mm-hmm. If we don't do this, we might as well just throw out all the law books, throw out all the criminal code, and open up the prisons, because law means nothing if the president can get away with this type of activity.
Well, he's not even the president. They're just calling him that. And they know it. I mean, by law, by the Constitution, it doesn't matter. They violate every single law that exists. Everyone. Yeah. Oh. Well, I came upon that very evidence over and over. Wannabe Obama, Hillary Obama, give me a break. I've got the list posted on my website. You have to read the article. It's at the bottom of one of the Three Stooges articles. Bonus documentation. It shows the very money laundering database that they use on the internet. And it's not just Chicago, as we've often said. But they're all involved in it. All, you know, all the lawmakers are involved in this. So.
Did you come across this alias? His name, Harrison J. Bonell, B-O-U-N-E-L. That's what this fellow found out. The Social Security number of Harrison J. Bonell is the exact same Social Security number on Obama's tax return. It's posted publicly. How in the world can this be? I mean, come on. That has to be the most incredible criminal conspiracy going on to keep this man from being found out. It just blows my mind. How can you get away with this?
Put it on TV. That's what they do. Well, I haven't heard that. So he goes into this Al you're talking about.
Yeah, I was on a True News Radio. Just a very, you know, the whole 39 minutes is posted on my website. Obama's Social Security number is tied to an alias by the name of Harrison J. Bonell. Now, this also ties to a circuit court judge there in Chicago, as well as other people of high repute there, supposedly, in Chicago. It's a stunning revelation, Don. This is all new stuff, and golly, you know, this YouTube video just barely came out. When I posted it, there was like 700 hits on it, is all. And this is a huge story. My goodness, it's a headline story.
Now, is this supposed to be the identity of a person who's died, or is this someone who's alive, or is it just another made-up name?
Well, he doesn't go into that. It could be just another made-up name. It could be the name of this person from New Hampshire. But, you know, there's been stories, you know, and there's been exposés written on the beginning number of his Social Security number, 047. That date and the time of his birth, that was the Social Security number given to somebody, I believe, in New Hampshire. Or, you know, it's an eastern state. It's definitely not something given to anybody.
Connecticut. But he's got them
Connecticut,
all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's definitely not anything given to Hawaii. So could this Harrison J. Bonell be the fellow that was deceased in Connecticut? Yeah, could be. But the bottom line is the name is on all of these real estate transactions that are very, very shady, tied to these people in Chicago.
Yeah. There's a connection to, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Eaker Air Force Base. in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Following the name, there's one, an address in Boston, Massachusetts, and two in Monroe, Louisiana. Kind of interesting. I had found some internet postings of some gay sites that he frequented under one of his aliases.
Really?
Yeah. And he was complaining about the war in Iraq.
Well, maybe that's really him saying Harry Boner. Bonal.
Harry's son.
Harry's son, Jay Bonal. I don't know, Don. This is just, again, it just is shocking that this is all uncovered, and yet it just seems like it rolls off their back. I don't get it.
And where does he use that alias? How is he? Is it for real estate money laundering or bank fraud or what?
Oh, well, yeah, that's what he. You'll need to listen to that video. I'm sure it'll dovetail very well into your research. But again, it's tied to real estate transactions, loans, and mortgages that. You're quite eye-opening, eye-raising, I should say, eyebrow-raising. So it's clearly a case for some federal agency to come in and press charges on this. I mean, you don't need to have this fake identity with your Social Security number and get tied into, again, Michelle Obama and her law firm. Just some very, very strange occurrences going on there.
Hmm. Well, I'll have to look into it, and you'll have to report back on it, I guess. How long has this story been out now?
Is this not long? It just came out, like I said, Thursday or Wednesday of last week. So this is a breaking story, Don. It needs to be followed up by some investigative team. There's no doubt about it. I think there's some real rabbit hole openings here.
Maybe Harry Camping can enlighten us a bit.
Maybe he can. You know, that's what's funny. Nobody's seen the bozo. I mean, he just like disappeared. Maybe he got raptured up. I don't know. Maybe he's up in a cloud or some alien spaceship. I don't know.
Well, you know, there is some truth to the zombie story. I have a clip. You've heard it before. Some of our audience has heard it before, but it's worth playing again, and it bears repeating it.
Mm-hmm.
We have zombies working in the federal government.
Well, this is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. And I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that. The Guam population, I think, currently about 175,000, and again, with 8,000 Marines and their families, it's an addition of about 25,000 more into the population.
And also things like the environment, the sensitive areas of the environment, coral reefs and those kinds of things. And I know that, you know, lots of people don't like to think about that, but, you know, we didn't think about global warming either. And now we do have to think about it. And so I'm concerned from an environmental standpoint whether or not Guam is the best place to do this relocation, but it's actually the only place. Is that correct?
This is the best place. This is the farthest west U.S. territory that we own. And, you know, this is part of our nation. And in readdressing the forward presence and posture importance to Pacific Command, Guam is vital to this decision.
Okay, there you have it. Zombies are working in Congress. Imagine. Just imagine that someone, well, what is Guam? And he wanted measurements out of that. Well, it's 12 miles across. It's 24 miles across. It's 7 miles here, 12 miles there. At the smallest point, would be even smaller than the head of a pin, wouldn't it? The smallest location? this is... You are worried about the people in this country?
Yeah. Or
worry about who's governing us. And, I'm again at a loss for words. Hank has outdone himself. Even replaying this.
Well, yeah, there's... Again, I'm just looking here at another website. It's zombies.monstrous.com, and yeah, this is out there, but it again shows the RNA virus structure of rabies, and how in fact rabies can be manipulated through the laboratories now to become a, you know, to really affect the brain structures of people that are infected. Goodly. You know, there's...
what is it, a type of encephalitis? Or?
Yeah. There's a website, Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies, IEET. A gentleman named George Dvorsky. His picture's right here. He says... this is posted December 18th of last year, Don. He writes, quote, "Much to my surprise, I've become a bit of a zombie junkie. I'm a big fan now of the Walking Dead television show and zombie films in general. I could watch Shaun of the Dead endlessly. I've been intrigued and spooked by the genre's post-apocalyptic visions of a humanity overrun by a mysterious virus that brings the dead back to life only to stalk the living. While it doesn't necessarily speak to the kind of speculative fiction that I normally enjoy, it does offer some food for thought as far as the science is concerned, and it got me thinking, could such a thing ever happen in reality? Moreover, given the potential power of future technologies, could a zombie virus be deliberately engineered? The more I thought about this, the more I became convinced that such a thing might actually be possible. Oh, I'm here to tell you, it's not only possible, it's real. Solanum virus. Now, there's a... on Wikipedia, it has... I just read this a picture of this book, The Zombie Survival Guide. And it was originally published as a real guide, a survival guide, just like the CDC is kind of putting that as a spoof. It's been spoofified, I guess, basically. But what the Zombie Survival Guide said, there was a virus called Solanum, the Solanum virus, that, again, this was being worked on by scientists worldwide, the Soviets, had supposedly got a hold, you know, finished up this work in their massive biological weapons laboratories in the Ukraine. Okay. So the Solanum virus attacks the brain, where it uses the cells of the frontal lobe for replication, destroying the frontal lobe in the process. During this period, again, this is in the CDC libraries of all things, the Solanum virus. During this period, all bodily functions cease, and the infected subject is eventually pronounced dead. The brain remains alive but dormant while the virus mutates its cells into a completely new brain organ. Once the mutation is completed, the new organ reanimates the body, but typically to a form that bears little resemblance to the original corpse. Some bodily functions remain constant, others operate in a modified capacity, and the remainder is shut down completely. The result of the transformation is literally a zombie, a member of the living dead. Again, this is all in testing of a virus in the Soviet Ukraine laboratories.
I wonder how many people they killed. If this is true, how many people have they killed in coming to these conclusions?
In testing this, yeah.
There are more descriptions there than there are for the drugs they sell on TV.
But it doesn't stop there. He writes, the reanimated corpse develops an insatiable appetite for human flesh, the brain in particular. It is through the relentless stalking and attacking of the living that zombies attempt to satiate their appetites while spreading the virus to their surviving attack victims. Solanum is 100% communicable and 100% fatal. While the virus is neither waterborne nor airborne, infection only occurs through direct fluidic contact. A zombie bite is the most common vector for transferring the virus, but it's not the only one. Humans can be infected by brushing their open wounds against those of a zombie or being splattered by its remains after an explosion. As for the zombies, there is no cure, nor can the relentless thirst for the living be quenched. They are single-purpose automatons stalking the living until their bodies have completely rotted away or their brains destroyed. Now get this, and you think this is funny, Don. The zombies among us, he writes.
I was biting my lip. Go ahead.
He said, this might all sound rather fantastical, the stuff of cheesy horror flicks, but the concept is not as outlandish as it might appear. Natural selection has, quite disturbingly, produced a number of viruses that, for all intents and purposes, turn their hosts into virtual zombies. Take mind-controlling parasites, for example. These are viruses and simple organisms that have evolved such that they can alter the behavior of their hosts. Essentially, they cognitively re-engineer their victims, turn them into their transmission vectors. This is exactly what this book, Project Soulcatchers, is going into. Plasmodium gallinaceum, more commonly known as malaria. It's been known for some time that this protozoan uses mosquitoes as its vector. What has not been known until recently, however, is that how malaria alters the blood-sucking behavior of mosquitoes. Malaria has had significant impact on the evolution of mosquitoes and their behavior, much like flowers. Okay, specifically, a mosquito will continue to search for victims until it reaches a threshold volume of blood. When it hits this threshold point, it stops host-seeking. It is thought that the stage-specific effect of the malaria parasite on host-seeking behavior is likely to be an active manipulation to increase its transmission success. Well, so there's a malaria that alters the mosquito's activity. Well, the study of malaria goes back again to this Rear Admiral Dr. Khan. This is not coincidental. What are they really telling us here? I think it's...
Well, you have these vegged out zombies. I'm just trying to follow this, you know. Pardon me if I laugh. It's a stretch. I'm not laughing at you. I mean just the whole idea.
Well, he got again.
How do they bring them to life to go, you know, to go out hunting? Let's say what's the process?
The viruses or the zombies?
Well, I'm speaking about the zombies. Okay, someone is zombified at this point, and their brain is alive, their soul is gone, and they reach this point where suddenly they have to eat, they have to drink blood or go search a victim to eat. If we follow the general theme of the average zombie flick. So,
well, again, it's not. Let's not be programmed by these flicks.
No,
the rabies virus is real. If you can take the rabies and mix it with a solanum virus, indeed, this is very, very much part of the bioterrorism structures. They know exactly what the incubation time frame and period is of this. Hey, you know, what if the seriously, Don? What if this swine flu was just a dry run? The more you think about it, I'm telling you that the work done in Fort Detrick and other places, this is not science fiction. This is not horror fantasy. This is sadly real life. The solanum virus can, in fact, cause this destruction of the frontal lobes. Just like this gentleman says. In fact, if you research it out, you see that it's not any laughing matter. Especially if it becomes an airborne viruses and the neurogenesis structures with the nanotechnology that's available. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! What a possibility here.
Now, you know, of some of the people that you've talked to that suspect that they themselves are sleeper agents, have any of them brought up any information in this regard? Have they been told or prepared to anticipate something?
Well, I go back to the Michael Riconosciuto story. I got to talk to Ted Gunderson and see, because I know he was meeting with Riconosciuto at his prison setting. Now, what Gunderson did tell me is that some of the work that Riconosciuto was privy to was a virus, a very strange acting virus, and this was done on the Indian reservation there in Indio, California. Very top secret, very hush hush. But it, you know, think about it. If you want to create an absolute horrific terror, what better way to do this than to have people infected and then, for all intents and purposes, they die, and then the brain basically is altered with a microchip or a transmission at a major main computer, and these zombies become working. And this is not, you know, we've been programmed to think this is all just a bunch of hoogie hooey science fiction, but I'm telling you, I'm taking it deadly seriously. This is not just some quack concept, Don.
Well, aside from looking behind your back and all around you, what would you suggest one could do to protect themselves?
Well, we should definitely get a CDC zombie emergency kit. So here I am laughing about it. I either laugh or you cry. But now if you go on to, you know, go to my website or just follow the links of the CDC, they have a zombie preparedness kit, for heaven's sakes. I'm serious. They have a face screen, a manual on how to protect yourself from a zombie apocalypse. This is stunning.
Well,
this is stunning information.
Yeah, another apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yet another one.
Yeah, you know, but if you see what's going on in their, you know, their crazy world of the cybernetics, the psychotronic, and again, go down the rabbit hole of the nanotechnology, this is very, very, I guess the best word is just stunning, just shocking.
Mm-hmm. Now, David Icke recently did a piece on Beltane, and he actually went to Rome to take a tour. And I haven't looked at the whole video, but he's got a new video posted about the whole ritual. And you should have seen all the people there at the Vatican standing around waiting for the Pope. I guess they were going to beatify John Paul II.
Yeah, and they did that on May 1st, Beltane again.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that the Illuminati, the Satanists in the world, it's called basically their master spell book. It's called the Book of Shadows, and there's, you know, the Beltane is May 1st. There's specific rituals they have done for eons, probably since the days of Babylon, on May 1st. So, again, based on their what they call their grand climax astrological charts, they show that the stars are aligned for a movement into a new age of in 2011 into 2012. So the stars would align. Hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, they called for this alignment, and they in the Book of Shadows, they prescribed that a person of royal blue blood lineage, the lineage of the kings of Babylon, would marry a commoner on the day before the eve of Beltane. Now, that would be Prince William marrying on Friday the 29th. That was a day before Beltane. I'm sure David Icke wouldn't have gone on this angle of it. Then you have a bonfire, a conflagration, they call it, a big celebrational fire, and word would, again, this is the grand climax protocol, there would be news given the world that would cause many in the world to be exultant, to be happy, to be joyous.
Mm-hmm.
And this celebration would last roughly 21 days or 3 weeks. Now, what happened on Beltane, May 1st, the lie about Osama bin Laden, again, causing just that, midnight celebrations at Ground Zero and Washington, D.C., people, chanting USA, USA, and having celebrations well into the early hours of the morning. That happened. That's not makeup. The story is made up, but the after effects, there would be a coming down after, the 21st, 21 days of joy and exultation. And by the way, I just saw that Prince William returned from his official royal honeymoon on the 22nd of May yesterday, that he was 21 days on a joyous honeymoon as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I see that it's all done by design. Again, I reported on my show, Don, today that the Patriot Bill, this so-called Patriot Act, is scheduled to be renewed on the 27th of May for another 4 years. there was a vote in the Senate today. I didn't hear how it turned out, whether that should be renewed or not. By golly, it just seemed to be ripe for another false flag attack of some kind to justify the need for, you know, renewal of this Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. This name, Harrison Bownell, Harrison J. Bownell, mm-hmm. I think that's just a front name for some other names. And I just played a word game while you were talking about that. I was listening to you. And I can tell you that it leads to another real estate company. This one in Detroit. So,
well, there you go. You can, again, listen to that interview with this gentleman. You, with your business, what you do, Don, you can, you'll know exactly what he's talking about, and it gives you some clues to, and I think you should follow and do exactly as he's done and see what you can come up with. It's a huge story, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're about out of time. It's interesting. Maybe that's the name of a zombie. You never know.
Bonell the zombie. Oh, yeah. And Don, you should get a copy of this book, or at least go on Amazon and study up on it.
The Soul Catchers?
Yeah, Project Soul Catcher. The mm-hmm. just reading the index, the chapter 3, good heavens, the code names given there, the acronyms, artificial linguistic internet computer entity, ALICE, A-L-I-C-E. And I get a kick out of this one, electronic dissolution of memory, EDOM, E-D-O-M. These are EDOM. EDOM is again, Babylon, the tribe of EDOM. And get this one, silent assassination through adapting networks, SATAN. Holy mackerel. Now, the hardware, the computers that they've designed, mentally integrated neuron duplicator, MIND, the artificial linguistic internal computer entity is ALICE. Thought and memory interface, TAMI. So there's ALICE and TAMI, the two computers. But there's software to run this mind control programming, these basically zombifications of humans, is the Common Human Routines Inference Software Technology, CHRIST.
Yeah, I have to read that.
So. That's an amazing, amazing book. Amazing.
And you say he worked for the CDC at one time also, or was he affiliated with the military?
Here's his resume. His name is Robert Duncan. He actually was an insider. He worked, the story is he came out with this book, and this whistleblowing book, after the death of a friend, a Coast Guard rescue swimmer who was involved as a test subject with this. It's amazing. If even half of this, or even a tenth of this is true, it's a stunning expose.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I hope we didn't turn anyone into a zombie tonight and kept them awake.
Let's get them, if we get them, just get them thinking about it and doing their own research. It's
Certainly. Oh, I'm not laughing at you.
I mean, I know.
Just the whole thought that they have to go on the heels of a TV series that they ran for 3 months or so.
And I guess thinking of Michael Jackson and his Thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing like zombies.
All right. Well,
good night.
The story behind the story is the name of the radio show heard Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect Network and the website, atrueaunt.com. Go take a look for yourself. Don't believe us, folks. True, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Don, and God bless and be well.
All right.
Watch out for those tornadoes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Good night.
All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Trueaunt. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints over at bbsradio.com. We had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night for another great show on Evident Footprints. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.